Thank you for that song. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'd like to preach a message entitled this morning, Send the Light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to start in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. The 1992 presidential election was an interesting one. We had the incumbent, George Bush Sr. He was thought to be a shoo-in about a year out from the election because of Desert Storm. The Democratic challenger was Bill Clinton, and then there was Ross Perot, independent candidate, eventually garnered 19% of the vote that year, an incredible number for a third-party candidate. He didn't win any states, so he didn't figure in the Electoral College mandate. But it was an interesting election, and they had a vice presidential debate. The vice president of George Bush Sr. was a man named Dan Quayle, a United States senator from Indiana who had been vice president, obviously, for 4 years. And then Clinton's running mate, of course, was Al Gore, senator from Tennessee. And Ross Perot, he was a businessman, he wasn't a politician, he had chosen James Stockdale as his running mate. James Stockdale was not a politician either. He was a war hero. He had been a POW in Vietnam for 7 years. He spent 4 years in what they called the Hanoi Hilton. And because he and some others caused so much trouble to Hanoi Hilton, they were too much difficult to Hanoi Hilton, they moved him to a place they called Alcatraz, not the one outside San Francisco. And Stockdale spent the last 3 years of his imprisonment in a cell, a cement cell with no windows, 3 foot by 9 foot, with one light bulb that shone 24 hours a day. That's where he spent the last 3 years. He was a war hero. He wasn't a politician, and really, as the election played out, he was one people made fun of a lot of times. One time during the debate, he didn't hear the question, he didn't have his hearing aid turned on, and the press mocked him. What they didn't realize, of course, was the reason he had to have a hearing aid was the Vietnamese had blown out his eardrums. Anyway, the first time Stockdale got to speak in this vice presidential debate, he's in an environment he doesn't really understand. This is what he said, this first thing out of his mouth. Who am I, and why am I here? The crowd kind of snickered. Kind of like he was out of his element a little bit. But really, it was the opening statement in an election, of course, as a third-party candidate, so they were never going to win. But it's a good question, and sometimes maybe we need to go back to that question. We ask ourselves this simple question: who are we, and why are we here? I don't mean necessarily just an ambassador. I mean, why are we here on earth? Sometimes we can get a little distracted, can't we? Sometimes we can get just a bit off of focus why we're here. We understand you guys are college students. You're preparing for a lifetime. You're preparing for marriage and for children and for a ministry. All that's all tremendous. But let's go back to the simple question. Who are we? And why are we here? I don't know about you, but I suspect many of you have a similar testimony to mine where I grew up going to church every time the doors were open. I praise the Lord for that. I didn't know what it was like to skip church. My dad had never heard of that idea. I got saved when I was 8 years old. Church is all I've ever known. But think about it. We're living in an increasingly secular society. And just a stone's throw from where we sit, there's people that don't even know who Jesus is. We're not talking about the mission field. The mission field is coming to America. Everywhere you go, there is somebody, and they want to know the answer to the question, who are you? And why are you here? Why are you here on planet Earth? And why are you here an ambassador? May I suggest to you the reason is, send the light. Send the light. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light. Send the light. I'm all about all the theological distinctions. I love all of them, but let's never forget why we're here. We're here to send the light. We're here to bring the gospel to people. There's a world out there lost and dying outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand all the theological debates, but let's say there's no debate about this. We're here to send the light. And we need some people to rise up and say, God has called me to send the light. God is calling us to take a message. It's mocked today. I understand that. It's minimized. It's cut down. The secular society has written us off, but the difference we have is we have a gospel that changes people's lives. We have a message that actually works. We have a message that can transform a family. We have a message that can take a child. Think of them all around this area where I pastored in Nebraska, all around America, all around the world. A child growing up in a home that doesn't know anything about a home like I knew. Their parents are messed up. I said for many years, the problem isn't the kids, the problem is the parents. They're not living for anything. Nothing counts in their life. Boy, that little 10, 11, 12-year-old child, they're crying out. They don't even know what they're crying out for. You know what they're crying out for? Somebody send the light. Somebody knock on my door and tell me about Jesus. Somebody take me to a church that cares about me. They can teach me the Bible. Oh, I tell you what we need is we need somebody to say, who are we? And why are we here? Send the light. Send the light. My entire family was changed because my grandfather was led to the Lord by a young preacher boy who'd come out of Northwestern College, not the one in the Big Ten, Northwestern College, started by W.B. Riley. Whatever else W.B. Riley was, he put the fire of God in people's hearts. And that preacher boy came down to a church. He pastored two churches. We're talking the 1930s. My dad tells me the pastor never even had a car the entire time. But somehow, without a car, he got 10 miles south of town in a barn and helped my grandfather milk cows at 5 o'clock in the morning. And over a period of a couple of months, eventually he led my grandfather to the Lord. Send the light. Send the light. Oh, I tell you what, we need somebody to say what it's all about is send the light. In our text this morning, I want to show you five simple truths. We must be soul winners in order to be faithful to the task that God has called us, faithful to the ministry that God has called us. First of all, in verse 1, I want to see you be faithful to the task. Notice in verse 1 it says, therefore, which draws a conclusion, of course, from before, seeing we have this ministry. Most would take that this ministry, go back to chapter 3 and verse 6, a minister of the New Testament. It says verse 6 there in chapter 3, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Down to verse 11, for if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Now back to chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Don't lose heart. Let's be faithful to the task that God has given to us, first of all. First of all, soul winning is difficult work. It's not impossible, but it's turned out to be difficult, and for that reason, many people say it is impossible. But it is difficult work. I don't We're not negating that point this morning. It is difficult work. We live in a day and age where it's not accepted, where our message is not welcomed. It's been driven out of the educational institutions of our country. It's been driven out of our society. We've been negated. We've been told to sit outside and just be quiet. Even though it's difficult work, don't ever forget it's important work. Not only is it difficult work, sometimes it can be discouraging work. If you're actually out after it, if you're actually doing it, it can be discouraging. And third reason to stay to the task is there's going to be some disparaging comments about it. In Dr. Surrett's note for logic class, and I hate to bring it into the task this morning, but we will anyway, he said, people that make decisions in the ministry based on a few results is a total illustration of illogical thinking. And we take all of the ministry, but let me just tell you this. In the area of soul winning, never have so few people that knew nothing about it actually tried to tell other people how to do it. I tell you what, somebody that went knocking on doors for a half hour is about as much an expert on that as we are on how to get a rocket to the moon. But yet somehow their disparaging comments actually distract people from doing what they're supposed to do. We allow people that don't really know what they're talking about to set the agenda. Why not just go back to the Bible? It says, we faint not. Therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, God has given us a ministry. I see in the middle phrase there of verse 1, as we have received mercy, I see salvation, I see sowing, I see somebody getting saved. We faint not. Now, students, you're going to go out, you're going to be in a ministry. It's going to be hard to get a soul winning ministry, whatever. Churches that still have soul winning ministries, and they're few and far between, it's the lowest attended thing that any church ever does. You know, work days have a bigger crowd than soul winning. You know that? The ladies' Christmas cookie exchange, it far outseeds any soul winning operation ever operated in a church. Doesn't mean that it's not important. It just means we have to emphasize its importance. We have to stay at it. First of all, faithful to the task. Second of all, we have to be faithful to the text. Go with me to verse 2. It says in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. It's an interesting description of the word of God, of how we handle the word of God. And we understand when we come to soul winning, there's all different kinds of wrong teaching out there. There's all different kinds of wrong teaching on the gospel itself. The simple gospel changes and transforms lives. There's many things out there that purport to be the gospel. There's the self-esteem gospel promoted by the prosperity gospel people. There's the no repentance gospel. I'm sure you'll get all this in a class sometime, but there's the lordship salvation gospel promoted by the Calvinists. There's the social gospel promoted by the political liberals, the religious liberals. But notice how it says that in verse 2, you and I with the truth, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. I think when it's talking about handling, it's talking about how we teach it, how we present it, how we share it, the word of God. Don't do it deceitfully. Do it honestly. In other words, the message is simple. The message is plain. There's a lot of attacks on it. You understand that. I understand it. There's a lot of people saying different things about it, but when we go to preach, when we go soul winning, when we go to reach people, let's be faithful to the text, to the Word of God. That's our message. That's the message that we have. Let's take that message to people. Let's have no deception, no distortion in the message. Let's be accurate in the operation, accurate in giving out the message, accurate in our application to it. Thirdly, do you see this? We need to be faithful not only to the task and faithful to the text, but we can also be faithful to a testimony. Notice it says in the last part of verse 2, where I left off there, verse 2b, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's talking in the first part of verse 2 about how we present the gospel by our message, by our words. And he's talking about in the last part of verse 2 of how we present the message by our life. There is a message that preaches, the words of the message. And then there's a life that preaches. People are not going to get saved necessarily the first time they hear the message. It may take a church staying faithful. It may take a preacher continuing to go and continuing to witness and continuing to knock on doors. I heard of a testimony. I never get tired of hearing people's testimony about how they get saved. What a blessing that is. This lady was in the southern part of the United States. She was home on a Saturday, and to her door came a bunch of bus workers. Now, she said, we didn't go to church. We didn't have time for church. We weren't interested in church, but I was offended that somebody wanted to take my kids and take them to Sunday school. And she said, I told them in no uncertain terms, if our kids go to church, I'm going to take them. We're going to take them. So the second Saturday, same bus workers, same door. Knock on the door. Now she says, I'm really mad. That they would think that we're such heathen, of course they were, that we would not even go to church. And she says, I reamed them out. I wanted to make sure they never came back again. About Thursday the next week, she started thinking, they're going to come back the third time. And so she said, I said to my husband, you know what? We should go away for the weekend. We need a break. I didn't tell him why, but I knew those bus workers are going to be back that next week. She said, wow. As she pulled away with her family, she says, I fixed them. She says, then Sunday night we came back. And we pulled in the driveway. And the headlights showed on the door. And on the door was a bag of candy and a little note saying, we want to take your kids to church. And she said, that lady right then in the car, she said, I surrender. I give up. Went to church. Got saved. Living for the Lord, serving the Lord, what we would call full-time ministry today. Can I tell you something? It doesn't always work the first week, but somebody's got to stay at it. Amen. Somebody's got to stay faithful to the task. Job can't be done in the first 6 months. It can't be done in one afternoon. We can't go out one Saturday for a half hour and act like we got the job done, like we fulfilled our obligation. It's going to take a little more. It's going to take more work. Faithful to the testimony. There's a little phrase about the gospel. It's wrong, but I just want to share it with you. It says, preach the gospel, use words if necessary. Now, it's wrong because this, the gospel is a message of words. But the truth of it is true also that we do have a life, have to have a life to back up the message. Before they read your tract, they may just read your life. Before they go to your church, they just might examine your family. See what you're like. See how you operate. Faithful to the testimony. Fourthly, we see faithful to the truth. Verse 3, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Look at the truth in these two verses. I see three specific contrasts that are interesting to us. First of all, it says, if our gospel be hid, so there's a contrast between something that is hidden and something that is found. It's hidden to somebody that's never heard the message. You and I have already heard the message. In fact, we've heard it thousands of times. Sometimes when you have something like that, you get a tad weary of it. You get a tad accustomed to it. But don't forget, here in North Carolina, and I understand where there's churches everywhere, I understand this, there's people who never heard that message. You go to places in America, the Midwest, the West, there's entire stretches where there's no gospel preaching church. It's hidden to them. They've been raised in a religion. They're trusting that religion. They've got their faith in that. Problem is there's just nothing to base their faith on in that. There's no salvation there. Hid and found. Notice it says blind, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them. There's a contrast between being blind and being able to see. comes across in several gospel songs as well, doesn't it? And then the third thing is the darkness contrasted with the light. Last part of verse 4. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. A dark place. Several years ago, I was in South Africa. A missionary was over there that our church supported. He was a guy I went to Bible college with. We started together. And I was over there for a couple weeks on a mission trip preaching and fellowshipping. And we went for a walk. We had an afternoon service. They had a church building that they had built there in South Africa in Matebo, Bible Baptist Church. And they had built it. And every time they left light bulbs in there, somebody would break in and steal the light bulbs. So they just decided, you know, the morning service was 11 o'clock and the afternoon service was 4 when it was still light out. And then he said, let's go soul winning. But it was no street lights. There was no light. Every little house, and they start with a 12 by 12 room, but every little house had just a little 25 watt bulb. One, that was it. I mean, just walking was a challenge. You know what I mean? My friend, so-called friend, he wanted to see me trip and fall is what he really wanted to see me do. And so he just took off, but I was going slow. We're not really used to a dark place, are we? Even at night in America, there's street lights everywhere, isn't there? There's something about darkness. There's a cave somewhere in the United States that is so dark down there, they say they put you down there and leave you there, you'll eventually go insane. There's something about darkness. We don't really know total darkness, do we? We know when it's dark, but total darkness. And it says here the gospel is a picture of light. Light. Whatever else we produce here, we should be producing some people that can bring some light to the situation. America's a dark place today. Politics are discouraging. Our educational system run by the government is discouraging. You know the only thing that's encouraging? You guys bringing the light. You guys sending forth the light. Faithful to the truth. Lastly, let's see, faithful to the trust. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, verse 6, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure, we're coming right back to that, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, verse 7, but we have this treasure. It's quite a statement. Well, if we trace that back, first thing it would go to would be verse 6, the last part, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Then it would go back to preach Christ Jesus the Lord, verse 5, and then eventually back to verse 3, our gospel. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It seems like a goofy statement, doesn't it? This treasure, the treasure of the gospel, and we have it in earthen vessels. Why didn't God choose to send angels to preach the message? He didn't. Why doesn't he send some heavenly message? He didn't. This message, the gospel, is in an earthen vessel. We're supposed to be the bearers of that message. Puts a little pressure on us, doesn't it? Your family, your extended family, Christmas time, a place God's called you to minister one day, some mission field across the seas, some place in America to start. We have this treasure in what? You say, is that lifting up the person? I don't think it's lifting up the person at all. I think a heavy responsibility falls on us. If you think that's lifting you up, I don't think you're getting what the message is all about. You're not getting what the passage is all about. But think about it. With that message, this treasure shared to you, maybe when you were younger, growing up in a Christian home, maybe somebody led you to the Lord, but let's just, don't ever forget this. This treasure in an earthen vessel. This treasure, somebody that's a human, struggles with real things, and you have that message. I know it's a simplistic approach to things, and sometimes when you have a simplistic approach, it can be easily critiqued. I understand that. If you have a complex approach, people don't understand it, so they're less likely to critique it. But I've got a simplistic approach to a lot of things today. Send the light. Send the light. Boy, you know what? We need more churches. Absolutely do. The question I have is, where are the people going to come for those churches? Send the light. Send the light. Think of another way. You're here this morning, you're saved. Many of you, your parents are saved. Your grandparents are saved. But sometime, somewhere in your family, in my family, somewhere, sometime, the first person got saved. Maybe it wasn't you, maybe it wasn't your parents, but let's trace it back. Somebody had to get saved sometime, somewhere, somehow, right? How did that happen? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I read the story again of that simple Sunday school teacher. Got burdened for his students. He started praying for them, and he said, I need to go witness to them. He went to outside a little shoe shop in Boston. He thought, maybe I shouldn't go in. They're working. I'm going to disturb things. I'm going to look kind of foolish. No, I'm going to go in. And Ed Kimball walked in that door that day and led Dwight Lyman Moody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Simple Sunday school teacher. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, walking down the streets of London one day in the middle of a snowstorm, jumped into a little church, middle of a snowstorm, primitive Methodist church, the pastor didn't even make it, and a layman got up to preach. Spurgeon was 16 at that time, troubled about his salvation, and the primitive Methodist layman said, listen, son, you look like you got a lot of trouble. Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. You know where it all goes back to? Someone was a soul winner. Think about this morning. Where you're sitting this morning, what a privilege, what a blessing. But all around us, even in Cleveland County, there's little kids, 10, 11, 12 years old, they're sitting in a home that's a broken home. The father probably doesn't even come home at all. You know what they're saying? Is there some love in this world? Oh, they're crying out. They don't even know what they're crying out for. You know what they're crying out for? Send the light. Send the light. Oh, for somebody to send the light today. God is calling us to be faithful to send the light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Lord, for the message from thy word. Lord, as these students go out, help them to go with a heart to reach souls. As they go out in the ministry, help us never to forget the responsibility to send the light. Thank you, Lord, that someone brought the light to us. Someone shared with us the gospel message. Help us, Lord, to never lose sight of the blessedness of it. And help us to share that message in Jesus' name.